chapter 5. But I wanted to share one verse with you along those songs and along those lines and some different things like that. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now, when we think of the cross, that was a long time ago, over 2,000 years ago, when Christ was living as a sacrifice on the cross. But that cross is long gone, you know, physically. It is empty. And the tomb is empty and the cross is empty. So our hearts can be full. But now in Romans chapter 5, this is an excellent chapter. Oh, there are a lot in the Bible, but I wanted to do the whole chapter, but I realized we couldn't do that this morning because, you know, you might want to go home for lunch and some things like that. So I had picked out some verses here and some things like that. But anytime, you can read this whole chapter. It's just an excellent chapter to teach so many great things about God. The reason that there's not going to be any more tears in heaven, as the first song was, because they have been washed away by the Lamb of God, because we have no more sorrow, because we have been justified, we have been set free, our sins have been paid, the grace and the mercy of God has come into our fulfillment as those that accept Him as their Savior here. Now, the cross speaks louder than my sins. That cross, what happened on that cross, there was a physical death, there was a spiritual death, there was the whole war of the whole universe at that time, during those 3 hours of darkness upon the cross. So much took place there. So much took place on that cross and on that empty tomb. Not just the cross, but the empty tomb that's still part of the whole picture. Because of that, our sins can be forgotten by God. No more sins. I looked at the verses in the Bible that talk about that. There's so many verses. As far as the east is from the west, in the bottoms of the sea, I will not remember thy sins, removed your transgressions. So many verses that God talks about our sins being forgotten. That can take place because He's God. And He forgives us. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Then we're going to go down to verse 8 and 6 and 7 later on here. But let's have a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, I just thank You for what You've given us, God. Oh, these great promises in the Bible. Let us understand them. Let us apply them. Let us grasp them. Let them be a part of our personal lives. And if there's one here that doesn't know that the cross speaks louder than their sins, if there's one here that doesn't know that they're going to have joy in heaven, may today be the day that they make peace with God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, therefore... Now, that leads us back to chapter 4, but we can't do that today. Being justified by faith. Now, you've heard me say this before. It's not new, but it says justified by faith. Basically, what that's saying is just as if I had not sinned. Justified. Just as if I had not sinned. Therefore, being justified by faith. 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 Faith is trust. Faith is putting yourself in your belief in something that you can't really see with your eyes, or taste with your mouth, or touch with your hands. Now, someday we'll see Jesus. Someday, as Christians, we'll be able to touch Jesus. But it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, in Hebrews. Also says in Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please Him, God. Now, a lot of people have information. They know that Jesus was born of the Virgin. They know that Jesus lived a sinless life. They know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. They know that Jesus rose from the grave. They know that He's in heaven today. They've got all that information. And it's not a problem in believing that information. But when it comes applying that information personally to your own life, that's where the faith comes in. Because listen, He wants to be your Savior. Now, the Bible. I had somebody tell me the other day, they like it here because everything comes from the Bible. Well, that's all we have that we can really rely and trust and stand upon is the Bible. The palabra de Dios, the Word of God, because it came down to God to us. And that's what we stand on. And that's the only thing that we can trust. You know, hey, I'm just a human being. But you can trust God and what He says here. So therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God. Opposite of peace is war. Well, I'm not at war with God. Well, are you at peace with God? Well, maybe not. Well, then what else is there? Peace with God. Are you right between you and your Maker? Are you getting along with God? Is God pleased with your life? Does God want something else in your life? Does God want to change your life? Peace. We all like peace. And many times we will do anything we can to have peace. But I want you to think about peace with God. Because every human being, now listen to this, every human being, from Adam to whoever the last person is going to be on this world, every human being will someday stand in front of Jesus. Saved or lost. Every human being someday will stand in front of Jesus and give an account for their life. As a Christian, what you did for God after you got saved. After you got saved, what you did for God. If you're not saved, what you did on this world and your degrees of punishment in hell. After you're saved, what you've done for God, your degrees of rewards in heaven. Hey, listen, God is a just and a righteous and holy, perfect judge. And He rewards for what you do. If you are a Christian, then you can be serving God and doing things for God, and He'll give you rewards accordingly. If you're not saved, He's going to give you rewards accordingly for what you've done not saved. Now listen, well, I've been a good person. There's a lot of good people out there. You don't have to be some terrible, vile, wicked, ugly person to need Jesus. Listen, we're compared to Jesus. Jesus is a standard. Jesus is a plumb line. Jesus is the ruler. Jesus is the standard of units that we go by. We're compared to Him. And when we're compared to Jesus, we all come short. I went to a chiropractor one time, and he was trying to fix me up and stuff like that. And he says, I want you to stand with your heels against the wall, your shoulders and your head against the wall like this. And I says, that hurts, doc. You know why? Because I'm not straight. I'm a little crooked. Well, listen, when we're compared to Jesus, we're a whole lot crooked. The old saying is, crooked as the dog's hind leg, you know. We are very crooked when it comes compared to Jesus. That's why nobody's going to get into heaven by their life, by the way they live, by how good or how bad you are, because none of us are good enough to get there. That's why justified by faith. Through our, now notice that personal O-U-R, Lord Jesus Christ. That means, listen folks, this verse right here is written to people that are already saved. Unless you're saved, you can't be justified by faith. You cannot be at peace with God. So this is written to Christians. But, hey, everybody wants to be at peace with God. Only the crazy people want to go to hell. Only the crazy people, the Looney Tunes or whatever you want to call them, the Satanists or whatever, they're the only ones that want to go to hell. You know, there's a lot of jokes about, well, I'll see my buddies there, it'll be one party, da-da-da, all that. Hey, that's a bunch of nonsense. How sociable are you when you've got a headache? Well, think about your whole body being a headache, and you're going to go down and have a party and socialize, and you're in a lake of fire? I don't think so. Doesn't even make sense. Peace with God through, like going through a door. Our personal Lord means Master. Jesus means Savior. Christ means Messiah. I am at peace with the Savior that God sent to be my Lord. Are you? Are you at peace with God? Are you afraid of dying because you don't know what's going to happen? We just mentioned Art, the man who used to come here. He moved down and started going to another church. He was at work, had his coat on, getting ready to go on break or coming back from break, and he just fell over. 66 years old. He just fell over. But he's in heaven because he got saved. You don't know. You don't know. Now, look down in verse 6 of Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me and you. We were without strength. We have no way of getting there. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, towards you, us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for the sinner. Christ died for folks like you and me. Because we have no way to get to heaven because we are sinners. And heaven is a holy and a righteous and a perfect and beautiful place. We can't get in there. But God doesn't want to be alone. God's a God of love. So He made a way so we could get access to Him. Someone says, well, how much does God love you? He says, well, He put out His hands to prove it as He was nailed to the cross. I often wonder if one was facing east and one was facing west. Because it says, as far as the east is from the west, That's how far our sins are. So you can go around the equator as long as you want, and you're never going to find west. You're never going to start going west. Now, you can go north, and all of a sudden you're going to start going south. Or you can go south, and you'll start going north. But you can never go east and start going west. You can't find west by going east. And you can't find the east by going west. But you can find Jesus at Calvary. Now, let's go on. Verse 9. Much more then, now being justified by His blood, there it is again, justified in sin by His blood, because He gave His life on Calvary, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. From wrath through Him. What's wrath? Anger with action. Anger is, I may get mad. But wrath is when I grab him by the neck. That's wrath. And we're going to be talking about that tonight at the evening service about the second, about the rapture and not going through the wrath of God. But anyway, that's just a preview for tonight. But anyway, now listen, the wrath of God. We all deserve the wrath of God on our life. When you do wrong, do you deserve to be punished? No, not me, That's our attitude, isn't it? Not me, I didn't do it, it was him. We want to do wrong and not have any wrath. But because we do wrong, we deserve punishment. We deserve it. We got it coming to us. We earned it. We worked for it. But we don't like it. So the obvious answer is, don't get in trouble. Easier said than done, but that's the obvious answer. And it's possible if you'll follow Jesus and let Him help you. But we all deserve the wrath of God in our life because each and every one of us is a sinner. So, verse 9 again, much more, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him, through Jesus. For if when we were enemies, now wait a minute, we just talked about peace up here. If when we were enemies, past tense. Remember, this is written to Christians. Christians are not at war with God anymore. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Reconciled. Reconciliation, to be put back together, to be put back in fellowship with Him, to be adopted into God's family, to make things better again, to be back at peace, to get rid of the war. Through the death of His Son, the shed blood, the death, the Calvary, the cross. Much more, there it is again, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now remember I said it wasn't just the cross. Jesus is no longer dead. Jesus is no longer on the cross. It's empty. Jesus is alive today in heaven, flesh and bone, sitting down on the right hand of God. You will be able to actually see Him and touch Him and talk to Him someday if you go to heaven. The disciples saw him after the resurrection. He ate with them. He touched with them. They talked to him. Stephen saw him when he was stoned to death. He talked to Saul on the road to Damascus. He talked to John on the Isle of Patmos. He talked to... He's alive. The cross was the payment for the sins of the world. The empty tomb was the victory over the grave and the death. The empty tomb was proof that God accepted His sacrifice for our sins. The empty tomb proves He's God. He rose Himself from the grave as the Spirit of God entered back into His body. Remember on the cross He says, "Father, into Thy hands do I commend my spirit." In John chapter 10 it says, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down freely. If I have the power to lay it down, I have the power to take it up again." We didn't kill Jesus. Our sins didn't kill Jesus. The Jews didn't kill Jesus. The Romans didn't kill Jesus. Jesus laid His life down for us. You don't kill God? It doesn't make any sense. But He voluntarily laid down His life for us because He loves us. Remember what we just read up here in the previous verse up here? Verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He voluntarily laid down His life for us. He said, "Okay, John Smith over here, he's a sinner. He deserves to go to hell. But something's got to be done with those sins." So Jesus says, "I'll take them. I'll take his sins. I'll pay his debt. So he can be justified by faith in me and make it to heaven." You see, that debt has to be paid. Remember we said God is a holy and a righteous judge? And remember we said if we sin, we deserve the wrath of God. So something has to be done with that payment for sin. He's just not going to slough it off. If you just slough it off, then the law is no good. Verse 11. "But not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Now the word atonement just means everything that amounted to salvation. That's what atonement means. Atonement's just adding everything all together and putting it under one word. All the salvation, all the experiencing, all the planning, the payment of the blood and the sacrifice of Christ, the dying on the cross and laying down, all of those things, that's atonement. That's a finished product. That's what atonement is. So the question is this. Are you at peace with God? Do you know, if your time is up today, do you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, when you close your eyes for the last time, that you'll wake up in the presence of Jesus? Do you know that? Now, when I say I mean, do you know that? I mean, not I think so, or I hope so, or I'm pretty sure. You're going to step off into eternity on I hope so? That means no. There is no gray area either. It's either yay or nay. You're not going to step off in eternity on a maybe so. Because if you don't know, then there's a reason you don't know. And the reason you don't know is because you don't have it. When you have something, you know it. When you have something, it's not a question or a doubt in your mind. You know you have it. You don't have to worry about, well, maybe I do, maybe I don't, I hope so, or maybe I hope I'm good that day that I die, so it'll be, hey, what about all the past sins? It doesn't matter. You must know these things.
In Sunday school, we're studying the Epistle of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th John. The Epistle of John. One of the major words in the Epistle of John is know. He wants you to know these things. He wants you to have these things. He wants you to be certain of these things. God is not a maybe so God. He's not maybe, well, I hope so, I don't know. He's not just some imagination out here. This book that we have, the Bible, have survived eons of trying to be destroyed by Satan. The first recorded words in the Bible of Satan in Genesis chapter 3 is putting doubt on what God said. He's a liar. He's a father of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning. What I'm saying is, this message, the gospel, has survived eons. And it will always be here. Your salvation, if you're saved, is just as long-lasting as God is. As long as there's a God, you will have salvation. Do you know? Do you know? Now, to be at peace with someone, you have to stop fighting with them. That's why there's not going to be peace in the Middle East, because they're not going to stop fighting. There's going to be peace for a little while, but that's a false, forced peace, and that's a whole other lesson. But listen, to have peace, you have to stop fighting. You're going to defeat God? Who are you? Smarter than God? I don't need you, God. I can do this myself. As we said last week, how's it going so far? Hey, if He's the superior being, which He is, you are not going to win. You know, they let Toppy out of jail here so he can go do some exposition fight here or whatever. Whatever your opinion is on that. But hey, I might as well just, hey, if I was going to step in the ring with him, I might as well just make sure my will's paid up and everything else, you know? I mean, he may be an old boxer, but he's still going to whip me. You want to get in the ring with him? Well, you're in the ring with God if you're fighting against God. That makes even less sense. So to be at peace, you have to stop fighting. You know what that means? Surrender! The Christian flag, large field of white, represents righteousness and surrender. The red cross represents the blood. The blue represents heaven. And through the blood, you can have access to heaven if you surrender to Jesus. When you surrender, you don't surrender with conditions. They used to do in the war when they would surrender, the general would give his sword to the conquering army. And they would break it or something sometimes. That was saying, hey, I'm giving up. Here's my sword. You're going to be over me. And I'm giving in to you. Do you want to be at peace with God? Will you surrender to God? Will you let God be in charge of your life? And you don't have to be afraid of that. You don't have to be afraid of somebody that loves you so much.
Why be afraid of someone that loves you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Man, it's beyond our comprehension. You want to be at peace with God? Then stop fighting with Him. Give in to God. Surrender. Say, God, here am I. Take me as I am. And He'll reach down from heaven. He'll touch your soul. And He'll pick you up off your knees. And you'll walk hand in hand with God through this world. As He takes you through this world. And gives you victory through this world. And molds your life. Straightens your life. Takes the sin out of your life. Does things in your life. Makes you a royal family. Makes you a child of the King. Adopts you into His family. Makes you joint heirs with Jesus. Promises you a glorified body someday. Promises you a mansion in heaven. Promises you'll walk the streets of gold hand in hand with your Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. You want that? Or do you want to keep at war with somebody you're going to lose? Keep fighting the losing battle doesn't make a lot of sense. But nobody ever said we was real smart. In Psalms, two places in Psalms, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. No matter what you believe, God is real. No matter what you think, you're going to stand in front of Him someday. Are you ready? Don, I'm going to ask you to turn that CD on from number one. Just turn it down slow. Low, I mean slow. Low. And let it play. We're going to have a time of invitation. I want you to stand to your feet. And it's time for a decision in your life. It's time to decide what you're going to do. Christian, have you been rebelling against what God wants to do in your life? Has there been a time in your life that you know that you're at peace with God? Has there been a time in your life that you asked Jesus to save you? He loves you just like you are. You don't have to fix things. He loves you just like you are. He died for you. He commanded His love towards us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Dear Jesus, we ask that You'll take this power of Your holy word of God, and that You will touch hearts. And hearts will make a decision as You knock on their door to surrender and let You in. We ask these things in the name of Jesus.